Welcome to Bible Line Ministries with Bible prophecy expert, radio talk show host, and pastor, Dr. Hank Lindstrom.
Is there such a thing as the rapture? Stay tuned to What's Up and find out.
Harvest Productions presents What's Up? An exciting look into what lies ahead. With your host, Bible prophecy expert, Dr. Hank Lindstrom.
Welcome to the program. I'm Dr. Hank Lindstrom. I'm your host, and we'll be talking about the scriptures. And so if you have a Bible handy, you might want to take a look at the passages we'll be turning to. Maybe you'll want to write down the references, get paper and pencil, and take some notes. And also, you get a chance to look at my Bible as we talk about the passages of Scripture that we'll be turning to. What about the rapture? Some people argue that there is no rapture because the word rapture does not occur in the Bible. And that's true. It doesn't. But, you know, there are many doctrines that we embrace, that we believe, where the word that describes them is not in the Bible. For example, the Trinity. You will not find the word Trinity in the Bible, yet we believe that God exists as three eternal persons, yet one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And yet, there's only one God. So, the word rapture does not occur in the Bible, yet the concept is there. And the word rapture really means to be caught up. And what is interesting, in the major passage that talks about the rapture, the phrase caught up is right there in the biblical text. And I'd rather have it that way because most people do not know what the word rapture means, and they would have to go to their dictionary, and it's much easier for the Bible to simply say caught up. So if you are a believer, according to the Bible, at the moment of the event called the rapture, you'll be snatched up, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, the atmosphere above the earth. And you'll be transformed into your new resurrection body on the way up. And from that moment on, you'll be forever with the Lord. So this is certainly something that is taught in the Bible. Yet the word rapture does not occur. We'll take a look at this passage, and you'll see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 17, where it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Notice the phrase, caught up. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, the atmosphere above the earth, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These are great words of comfort. And here it says that those that are living and remain until the event occurs will be caught up at that event with believers that have already died in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's the phrase caught up. That's what the word rapture means, so certainly the doctrine is taught. In the Latin translation of the New Testament, the Latin word rapturo is used, which is equivalent to the English word rapture. But from the Greek, which the New Testament was written in, to English, we find the phrase caught up is the best phrase. But if you wanted to put the word rapture there, you could scratch out caught up and put the word rapture there if that made you feel better. But I really prefer the fact that it says caught up because you can understand that. You don't have to go to your dictionary to find it. But if you look up the word rapture, it means to be caught up. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have the classic passage dealing with this event. And the question being resolved here is what happens to those that have died that have believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior? And this is resolved, and we find that they are with the Lord, and they will come back with Christ. And they'll be given new bodies at that event. And then those that are living at that moment will be caught up bodily in the air and receive their new bodies on the way up as their bodies are transformed on the way up, and they'll meet the Lord in the air, in the atmosphere above the earth. I believe we're getting close. We're at the end of the age. And I don't think you have to be too healthy to live a little bit longer, maybe just enough to be in this event called the rapture. What is interesting about this event is that those that are alive when it happens will be exempted from death. There will be a group that will never die. That's right. There will be a group that will never experience death. And that is exciting. And the Bible talks about that in numerous places. But you know, the Bible talks about death as the, well, it's used in the way of meaning separation. And physical death is the separation of your soul from your body. And spiritual death is the separation of your soul from God in hell forever and ever and ever. In Revelation 20, verse 14, it talks about what is called the second death. And there it describes people that have not trusted Christ being cast into the everlasting lake of fire. And it is said there in Revelation 20, verse 14, this is the second death. The first death being the separation of your soul from your body, the second death being separated from God in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. Obviously, you don't want to experience the second death. And the Bible tells us that those that are saved, those that have believed on Christ, the second death hath no power over them. So the ones that are saved, those that believe on Jesus, will be in the rapture and be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. But unbelievers who die will be eventually cast into the eternal lake of fire, where they'll be separated from God forever and ever and ever. Let's take a look. Here's the passage. It says in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. It's talking to believers here, which are called brethren, concerning those which are asleep. Now, when the Bible talks about being asleep, it's referring to the body, because the soul does not sleep. But the body is spoken of as sleeping till the time of the resurrection. And he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, speaking to the believers, concerning them which are asleep, referring to the body, sleeping in the grave until the time of the resurrection, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, it's so sad when people lose a loved one and they don't know the scriptures and they don't have this event on their schedule called the blessed hope. They have no hope. And there is nothing to give them hope that they'll see that loved one again. But for the believer, we know we'll see our loved ones again. If they are believers and we're believers, we're going to be meeting together in the atmosphere above the earth at the event which is called the rapture. Now, verse 14, here's the key. It says, for if we believe, the word believe means to trust. And here's the gospel message. It says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That is the message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And when a person believes, or the better word is trusts, that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, they become saved. And here it says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, referring again to the body, those that have died, in Jesus, that is, they were believers in Christ, it says, will God bring with him. So here is an interesting phrase, that God will bring with him the souls of those that have gone to be with him in heaven. The Bible teaches absent from the body, present with the Lord. So at the moment of death for a believer, the Bible tells us that the believer is absent from the body, present with the Lord. And from that moment, you'll be forever with the Lord. Here it tells us that they are with him, and when Christ comes back, God will bring these souls back with him. So we really learned here, this is another reference to the fact that Jesus is God, because Jesus comes back. But it says here, God will bring the souls with him when he comes back. So Jesus and God are one and the same, and it's interesting how they're used interchangeably here. But the gospel message is that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which have died or believed in Christ and died, will God bring with him. So they'll be coming back with the Lord when he comes at his second coming, which is really the event here that we call the rapture, not technically the second coming, because the second coming is when he comes all the way to the earth to touch down on the earth and actually rule on the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then it says in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." In other words, this is something that had been spoken about in other places prior and by Jesus himself. So the rapture is not in one isolated passage, nor is the rapture some invention of some group that has devised it. The Bible is very clear about this event. And it says, "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain." It's talking about that group living at the end of the age that will be living, breathing believers when this event takes place. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord," which is the rapture, "shall not prevent." It really should read, "precede them which are asleep." In other words, the first ones to get their resurrection bodies are those that have already died and gone to be with the Lord, and their bodies are spoken of as sleeping. But the believers who are living will meet them in the air and get their bodies a split second after those who have already died. It says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." So here is Jesus coming back from heaven. And it says here, "with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." So notice here, Jesus comes, and he comes really by himself. There is no mention here of angels coming, or no mention of any other beings being present here, except there is this shout, and then there's the voice of the archangel, and then there is the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, the dead in Christ refers to those that have died having believed or trusted in Christ as Savior, and they're the first ones to get their resurrection bodies. So their bodies rise up from the earth, but their souls are coming back with Jesus, as we look up in verse 14, where it says, "If we believe," and this is the gospel, "that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God," what? "Bring with him." Then down here in verse 16, it says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first, and the bodies rise up from the earth to meet the souls that are coming back with Christ, and the meeting takes place in the air, or the atmosphere above the earth." Then it says in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, this is a grand reunion, the likes of which will never be seen before or after. In other words, when Jesus does come, when he descends by himself from heaven, all of those that have previously died and are with the Lord in heaven, God will bring their souls with Christ when he comes. Then their new bodies rise up from the earth, meet their souls, and they're reunited soul and body forever and ever and ever. But right at that moment, as soon as that happens, the living believers, still in their mortal bodies, will be bodily caught up and actually never experience death. They'll simply be transformed into their new resurrection bodies on the way up. That's exciting, isn't it? Because it's potentially possible for you and me to be in that event where there will be a large group of believers that will be exempted from death, that will never die. And that is exciting. So the Bible talks about a group that will never die. Jesus, in John 11, there makes the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Most believers fall into that category. That is, Christ is the resurrection and the life, and those that believe, even though they die, will be resurrected in a resurrection body. It takes place right here in this passage at the event called the rapture. But then Jesus goes on to say in John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Wow! There he throws something in there that's new. He's talking about those that are living and are believers at the event called the rapture, at the end of the age, and this group will never die. Never die. So they won't even die physically. Now we know that if a person is only born once physically, but never places their trust in Christ and are never born again, as the Bible says, when you trust Christ, you're born into the family of God. By the flesh birth, we were born into the human race. But when you trust Christ, you become born a second time. This time it's a spiritual birth. Well, the Bible tells us that all of those that are born again in this age between Pentecost and the rapture will all meet in the air at that event. Now, right now, you might know other believers other than yourself, if you're a believer. Or if you're an unbeliever, you may know believers that are those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. But generally, you don't know too many. How many could you list if you had to write out a list of names of believers? You know, a dozen, a couple of dozen, a couple of hundred, maybe a thousand, I don't know. But you maybe have met several thousand believers in your lifetime. Or more, maybe. But generally, it's a small number. But at the event of the rapture, every believer from Pentecost to the rapture is going to meet in the air above the earth. And what a meeting that will be. I love that old song that says there's going to be a meeting in the air one day. And that meeting is the event that we call the rapture. You can be in that event. If you follow what it says here in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you believe he was buried? Do you believe he came back from the dead? Do you believe that by his death and shed blood he paid your sin debt in full? When you trust Jesus Christ as the one who did that for you, God saves you. From that moment on, you're saved. If you die before this event of the rapture takes place, then your soul is with the Lord. And when he comes back, he will bring your soul with him, and your new body will rise up from the earth. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and soul and body reunited will be from that point on forever with the Lord. Then there is that other group on the earth living, breathing believers in their mortal bodies that will be caught up and transformed into their new bodies on the way up. And the Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be raptured. The word is caught up. It means raptured. So the rapture is taught, even though the word rapture does not occur in your English King James Version. But if you wanted to write it in the margin, you certainly would have a legitimate reason to be able to do that. Because the word rapture in the dictionary means caught up. And here it talks about those that are living when Christ returns will be caught up and meet all the other believers who a split second before are coming back and getting their new bodies, and then we'll meet them there. And the whole body of Christ, for the first time in all of history, will actually be meeting together with one another, and from that point on, we'll be forever with the Lord. That is exciting. And so that's the first time when all of the body of Christ will actually be present in one place at one time, and that's at the end of the age at the event called the rapture. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, therefore I am assured of going to heaven, and if I'm living when the rapture takes place, I'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and be given my resurrection body. How about you? I hope you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You may have noticed that right in the heart of this discussion about the rapture is the necessity of believing the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 4:14, it says, if we believe, if we believe, if we believe. Our salvation is conditioned upon belief, and the Greek word really means trust. You must trust that Jesus died and rose again. That's the gospel message. That's the message that is at the heart of the Bible. That's the message that John 3:16 loudly screams out at us, that God so loved the world, the whole human race, such that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, paid your sin debt in full, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And when you believe or trust in him, John 3:16 says, you'll not perish because Christ perished in your place, but you'll have everlasting life. And so this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, immediately leaps to the most important element of this message, and that is to be raptured, to be saved, to be with the Lord, to live with God forever in heaven, to be in this meeting in the air that the Bible speaks about, where all believers will be gathered together at one moment in time. You must believe. It says in verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So the question is, have you believed? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And if you haven't, you could do it right now. You know, you could whisper a prayer between you and the living God. You could tell him, God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and we all are, but I believe Jesus Christ, or trust that Jesus Christ died and paid for my sins by his death and shed blood. I believe that he was buried. I believe he came back again from the dead. And I trust Jesus Christ right now to save me, to be my Savior, to be my only hope of reaching heaven. The moment you do that, the instant you do that, you become saved. And that's the only condition. It's amazing to me how many times churches will add numerous other things. But the Bible simply says, if we believe, if we believe, if we believe, if we believe. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. The same truth of John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I was 18 before I ever understood this. I was raised in church, confirmed, baptized, homogenized, pasteurized, capsized, simonized, you name it. I went through every church process available, but I never was saved. I never understood until I was 18 when I went to a Bible study in my neighborhood for teens that my sister invited me out to. And there I heard for the first time that if I would simply believe or trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I would not perish because he perished in my place, but I would have everlasting life. You know, that's good news. It's the best news that you'll ever hear. And how wonderful it was when I heard that presented and I realized that if I would only trust Christ, I would go to heaven, that I would have eternal life. Well, this is what the verse says. If you believe that message of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, when Christ comes back, God will bring with him all of the souls of those that have died believing Christ died for them. They're with him now. According to the Bible, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord at the moment we die. So when you believe on Christ as Savior, you're assured that whenever you die, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says that you are absent from the body, present with the Lord at the moment of death. I am so glad to know that, because since I have trusted Christ as my Savior, I know that whenever I die, I'll be absent from my body, but present with the Lord. And if I'm living, when this event called the rapture takes place, when those that have died before us get their resurrection bodies, as Christ brings the souls back and their bodies rise up from the earth and they meet and are reunited, soul and body, forever, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and be with all of these other believers that have gone before us. That is really exciting news, isn't it? I know that my son, I lost him in a car accident 12 years ago. He was a believer, so he's already with the Lord. He's already there. I'm here on the earth living, potentially, a part of that group that will never die. And it could be, if I'm living when this event takes place, my son's soul will come back from heaven to the upper atmosphere at this shout when Christ descends from heaven, and he'll get his resurrection body just a split second before I get mine. Then I'll be caught up and receive my resurrection body, and we will meet together in the air. What an incredible thought that will be, that we will be reunited with all the believers since Pentecost, and every believer up until the event of the rapture will be gathered together in this meeting in the air. And the Bible says in verse 18 of this wonderful chapter, 1 Thessalonians 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Wow, it's very comforting to me to know that, hey, my son is there already with the Lord and will come back with Christ, and I'm going to go up and meet him in the air, should I be living when that takes place. Otherwise, I'll just be absent from the body, present with him, and get my body alongside of his. And when that happens, all the living believers on the earth will get their bodies. Just whisper that prayer. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't understand much about the Bible, but I believe Jesus died for me, paid my sin debt in full by his death and shed blood, was buried and rose again from the dead. I trust Jesus Christ as my only means of salvation. You see, it's not based on works or church membership or penance or mass or prayers or confirmation or baptism. It's based upon what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. And if you would only whisper that prayer and trust Christ, God will save you. He'll give you the gift of eternal life. You can be absolutely assured of going to heaven. And if you're living when Christ returns, you'll be a part of a group that will be exempted from death, that will never die at all. That's exciting. It really is. I am your host. I'm Dr. Hank Lindstrom, and we're going to be back next week. We'll be right here on this channel at this time, and we hope that you will join us. Will you do that? Every week, right here on this channel at this time, and I hope that you'll join us here on this channel at this time. And we'll be getting into the Bible on different topics, and you'll be able to follow along in your Bible, and you'll be able to hopefully invite friends and family to sit down with you and when we come to you. But I hope most of all that if you haven't trusted Christ, you would, and then I'm going to see you in heaven. I'm Dr. Hank Lindstrom saying goodbye for now, but we'll be looking forward to seeing you next week right here on this channel at this time.